Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So I will say this, bad loss last night for the Predators, and it's not that the loss itself was a bad loss, as much as the fact that they lost, as much as the fact that they are 0-4. Tough loss. But I don't want to start on that, though we will get to it today. I want to start on the game on Sunday, the Titans and the Bills. Do you remember when the Titans used to win? Do you remember when the Titans used to be good? I do. It wasn't that long ago. In fact, I remember when we used to talk after wins. Well, was it this guy? Was it all because of Derrick Henry? Or was it because of the defense? Or was it because of the coach? Or was it because of the... And we don't have that anymore. Do you remember when the Titans used to play big games against Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and they were really, really exciting? A Sunday night football game on the road against the Rams? Like, do you guys remember that? And how much fun that used to be? Yeah, that's not what we're going to have this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. And let me just go ahead off the top, make a declaration. Ian, are you ready? Dun, 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 dun. I guarantee the Tennessee Titans will not win on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I know that's really not a shock. And I'm really not going out on a limb, considering the Bills are favored by 8.5 points to win and call it a guarantee. But the reason for the guarantee, I think, is beyond the fact that I think Buffalo's a better football team than the Titans. It's the real story here, which is that I feel like on October 18th, the Titans have thrown in the towel. Like, they know they stink. And every theme of every press conference this week has been on everything but what the Titans need to do this week to go out there and beat Buffalo. There was drama after the game on Sunday with the player unhappy about his targets. There was a quarterback who was not willing to admit that he lost his team the game. A quarterback who blamed his shoulder injury on the one interception and the fact that he threw for 95 yards. There was the drama on Monday with the coach contradicting the quarterback's claims that he was too injured to throw the ball deep. There was drama on Wednesday when the quarterback said that the coach needed to get the play calls in faster and that the team had a bad practice. There was drama on Thursday when the Titans released Jamal Adams, and then they said it was over his practice habits, a claim that Adams went on the record with TD and dismissed. Now there are questions about the trade deadline. Are they going to trade DeAndre Hopkins? Anybody else might be traded. Who knows? I think all around town there are questions about the coach. The coach was peppered with questions about his play calling. Then it leads to, well, what about the coach? What not about the coach? The Titans, and again, the Titans this week, there was nothing of substance about the Buffalo Bills. Not an in-depth breakdown as to, hey, tell us what has to happen in order for you to win this game against the Buffalo Bills. What are the keys that we're preaching to the game? What do we think of the matchups with the Titans and the Bills? And, you know, how big of a factor is Amari Cooper going to play? Nothing of substance that had anything to do with the Buffalo Bills. And the reason for this is because nobody in this town is focused on the Bills. The Titans aren't focused on the Bills. The players aren't focused on the Bills. I don't even know if the coaches are focused on the Bills or if the coaches are sitting there all day Monday with the entire offense going over every play to debate who screwed up and why. Is that really focusing on the Bills? And I wonder, again, when the media is not focused on the Bills and the fans aren't focused on the Bills and the talks about the trade deadline and DeAndre's in front of his locker answering questions about, is he going to be traded? Is he not going to be traded? You have to wonder, how much focus is there about Buffalo? Is there any focus? I'm serious. Is there any focus this week about the Buffalo Bills game? And so this has all of the makings of a complete and total shellacking on Sunday afternoon. And I have to ask myself, what hope have the Titans presented that would make you think their heads are in the right places for a win on Sunday? If this were 2022, and I know the Titans ended up not having a good team that year and they ended up going 7-10 and not making the playoffs. But on October 17th of 2022, October 18th, I should say, on October 18th of 2022, we thought the Titans were contenders. And if we were sitting here before a game where, again, the whole week has been about, well, the quarterback says he was hurt, but the coach said that he wasn't hurt, and then the star receiver's upset about his targets, and then, this guy is being talked about in trade conversations, and this big free agent acquisition this offseason's asking for his release. And if all of that were to happen during 2022, I'd be sounding every single alarm bell possible. Because while a loss on the road at Buffalo wouldn't have been catastrophic at that point, in fact, early in the year in 2022, the Titans went on the road and lost to Buffalo. So while a loss to Buffalo on the road wouldn't have been catastrophic one way or another, those games meant something. Those games had AFC playoff implications, divisional implications, and they also had measuring stick implications. The Titans would go up against the Bills on a Monday night. The Titans would bring in Kansas City. The Titans would play these teams, and it's like, okay, let's see if this team can compete. But that's gone. And so 2 years ago, my whole mentality about a game like this is totally different. 2 years ago, when this team actually had a pulse, we were worried about, okay, how's the offensive line going to be able to hold up against their defensive line? I've listened to every press conference. It's all about how this is bad, that's bad, why is this wrong? I mean, there are more moments in these press conferences where the coaches are blaming the referees, Denard Wilson and Colt Anderson, than they are talking about the game on Sunday. Now the game's on the schedule to me, and I really feel like they feel this way too. Like, I feel like this is what's going on in the Titan headquarters. Nobody will say it because it's a cardinal sin to say it in football. Nobody will say it, but it's true. They're a means to an end. These guys are getting paid to play. We got to go through 17 of these, and then we can get on the road to Cancun. Boy, this is a big one on Sunday. Let's see if Will Levis can throw for 100 yards this week. Yeah, boy, that's the big stuff going on this week. So for an organization that came into the year saying they had a high expectation, and they did. It was hilarious because this morning I was on Robbie and Rex Road and Joe was like, I don't remember the Titans saying they were going to win the division. And I'm like, nobody says that. But they did have high expectations. Amy said she had high expectations. Rand Carthon said that they got everything they needed on offense this offseason, said they had a hell of an offseason. Chad Brinker said, fancy to be patient, but we know we have to win immediately. And Brian Callahan told Bussin' with the Boys that he had high expectations for this season based upon the additions they made, who they can't get the football to, and the quarterback that he signed up to coach, who's not very good right now. I mean, again, the expectations were so high that Mike Vrabel wasn't meeting them. And I don't think that anybody in this city or in that building is excited about what's coming up on Sunday against Buffalo. In fact, I don't even know how many of us are thinking about the game on Sunday. Think about you going to your office. You know, the old water cooler talk. You're at the office and you're talking about how many people talk to their coworkers or talk to their friends or talk to their family about the Titans and football and everything. How many of you have said, man, what do we think about this game on Sunday against the Bills? Like, are we nervous about this game on Sunday against the Bills? Do we feel like the Bills, you know, are really going to be a threat? You haven't had any of those conversations. I think a lot of you are sitting there and thinking, Josh Allen, please don't hurt us too badly. And again, that has all of the signs. Playing a Super Bowl contender who, again, they've lost two measuring stick games to the Ravens and the Texans. They're looking at you licking their chops, thinking, okay, this is our opportunity. This is when we, the Buffalo Bills, this is when we go out there and pounce on the Titans. They have the nice shot in the arm of adding Amari Cooper. And you've been too worried about everything but the game on Sunday. Which means, I guarantee the Titans are going to lose on Sunday at Buffalo. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Now, there is one thing I am excited to see on Sunday, because it's really kind of a little put up or shut up here, and I am excited for it. That's next. Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025 The Game.
What's with Wayne on Monday night against the Jets? What stood out to you in that game and then just their season that they've been having so far?
Well, it was a physical football game. That was two really physical teams playing against each other. It was a really, hard-fought game. I thought the Jets did some good things on offense. They moved the ball pretty well. Had opportunities to win the game. They had two short missed field goals. Obviously, that hurt them. But, they do a really nice job on defense. There's not a lot of air in their defense. They're a physical front. Their linebackers are really good players. Their scheme complements the players really well. And then on offense, I think Josh Allen's playing, that team is always going to be Josh Allen and how he's playing and how well they're moving the ball, and they're doing a great job offensively. They run the ball really well. Josh is playing at a really high level. He's not turning the ball over. He is not taking sacks. They're playing a really good brand of football there right now, and their record would show that. So we got a tough test, a really hard place to play. I think they're like 33-7 or 8 at home, under Coach McDermott, and great environment, but a really difficult one, and one we have to go meet the challenge of.
That was Brian Callahan talking about the Bills game on Sunday, saying, Buffalo's pretty good. They are, in fact, pretty good. So let me tell you what I am excited about of the game on Sunday. I think the Titans are going to lose. In fact, I think the Titans are going to get housed. I mean, just housed. I think there's going to be a lot of energy on Monday. I've kind of noticed this trend this year with Titan football. Titan Mondays, people are mad, angry. They can't believe it. They're so disappointed. On Tuesday, they're still mad and angry. Then on Wednesday, they kind of start to think that they've got it figured out. On Thursday, they start to pretend that the problems that they had on Sunday don't exist. And then on Friday, they're kind of on to the game and the weekend and everything else. And then Sunday is when the nuclear warhead goes off. And then on Monday, everybody's all worked up again. But there is one thing I am excited about seeing on Sunday, win or lose. And that is the number one defense that has yet to play a legitimate NFL quarterback under the age of 40 years old. Because they're going to on Sunday. Now, I might be the only person you hear say this. Maybe somebody else says it, but I'm always first, because everybody else always assumes the good about the Titans. And if I say everybody always assumes the good about the Titans, like, oh, no, Jared Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT can play right tackle. If I always assume, or if they always assume the best, I usually always assume the worst. And so I'll be the first person you probably hear say this, but I think this defense is terrible. I think this defense is ass cheeks. Like, I think they're bad. Again, they have the number one ranking. I got it. But I think they're closer to the 2020 Titans defense, which finished 28th in the league, than the 2021 defense that helped you secure the number one seed for the AFC playoffs, got 9 sacks in a playoff game. Like, I think they are bad. And I know, they held this team to 20 points, and they held this team to this many points, and they held that team, and if Levis did, I know. But they don't get turnovers, they don't get sacks, they don't ever get key stops, and it doesn't matter who they're playing. Malik Willis, Joe Flacco, Caleb Williams in his first game. It almost never matters except for when they play Snoop. And this week they ain't playing Malik Willis, folks. Buffalo's offense, shockingly to me, found this out today, they're only 21st in the NFL. And they're not what they used to be at wide receiver since Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville and Stephon Diggs is in Houston and Khalil Shakir has been hurt. And Khalil Shakir is actually a pretty good player. But he's been hurt, so they went out, they got Amari Cooper. And yet I feel like Buffalo will have no problem whatsoever with the Titans defense. And the reason being, because the Titans defense doesn't sack the quarterback. They don't force the quarterback into making bad decisions, thus turnovers. And again, they don't get key stops. I mean, it's just kind of been the same story this season. We can blame Will Levis all we want. Will Levis has been terrible. But it's not like the defense didn't have a shot in the fourth quarter to get a stop against the New York Jets, and they gave up a second and 21. It's not like the Titans defense didn't have an opportunity. The Titans had a lead in the second half against Indianapolis last week, and the Titans just weren't able to do anything about it. That's what happens when your defense really isn't that good. And I'm convinced that the Titans defense really isn't that good. In fact, I think it's bad, and I think it's going to get exposed on Sunday. And so I am excited to see, because I'm either going to be right about this or I'm going to be wrong. You know, if they go up to Buffalo and Will Levis hands away the game and they lose 10-3, I'll say I was wrong about the defense. But I don't think I'm going to be, because I think this defense is bad. The stats through five games will tell you they are the best defense in the league. And not only do I, and nobody I think really thinks they're actually the best defense in the NFL, but not only do I not think they're the best defense in the NFL, I don't even think they're a good defense. I think they're a bad defense. And I think they get exposed on Sunday. So you heard it here first. Everybody else will wait until the stats say they're bad. I'm telling you right now, what I'm seeing, the underlying metrics, it's bad. By the way, Mike Vrabel used to say the way the rules are now, if you don't get turnovers, you can't win because you can't stop anybody on defense. And if you don't hit the quarterback, which is what usually forces the quarterback into turnovers, if you don't hit him, which this team doesn't do, you're not going to force any of those turnovers. And guess what? Those are the rules against Derek Carr. This is Josh Allen. So, good luck. 615-737-1025. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, there are a couple things on the injury report that not much of a surprise to me that I do want to get into. But Randy says, and our phone lines on a Fireball Hot Take Friday are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Randy says, being the Halloween season, here's a scary scenario. The Titans win on Sunday, starting all over. The CI told you so. Will Levis was the guy. He's our franchise quarterback. It just took a few games. That, Randy says, is very scary. I'm going to tell you guys something. I did a dive this morning on the first 2 years of Josh Allen as an NFL quarterback, because I remember I thought Josh Allen was awful. They came in here in 2019, which was Allen's second year, and they won the game because Cairo Santos missed four field goals. And I remember thinking, like, that quarterback sucks. He's useless. And I did a dive into Josh Allen's first 2 years. I mean, it was pretty bad. Like, incomparable to Will Levis. So if they go to Buffalo and they win and it's not some miracle or it's not Mason Rudolph doing it, there will be a lot of people that we're not hearing from right now, but there will be a lot of people say, see. But I don't think that's going to happen, so I don't have to worry about it. Because, I mean, again, the Titans' focus hasn't even been on Buffalo this week. Now you got Will Levis out there talking about Calvin Ridley. I need to do better, and he needs to do better. I'm sure that went over well. Gordon says, I think the defense is probably average, not terrible, but they are not what this team needs. Because the offense is bad, they need a defense that can steal games. Youth can't do that without turnovers. If the offense was good, this defense might be fine. Maybe. But again, they don't hit the quarterback. And the key stop thing, I keep going back to all these games. Like, when you've got to get a stop, does your defense do it? You know, Vanderbilt gave up 30 points, 35 points to Alabama. And they won because they scored 40. But if you remember, late in the game, Alabama had an opportunity. They were driving, and it kind of felt like Vandy needed a play to put it away, and Miles Capers came off the edge and smoked Jalen Milroe, and he fumbled the ball, and they ended up recovering it. And Coach Shoup used to tell me, he used to say, you know, as a defensive coordinator, even if you got in a shootout, you could look at the defense and say, hey, you have to make that one big stop to give us a chance to win the game. You may give up 45 points in this game, but if you get that one key stop, this Titan defense, they didn't get the one key stop against Indianapolis. They didn't. L'Jarius Sneed got called for pass interference, which was a good call, and then L'Jarius Sneed got beat by Michael Pittman. You lose. Same with the Jets game. In the fourth quarter, second and 21, you need the stop. You didn't get it. You did get it in the Chicago game, I guess, but, boy, that was a gong show of a football game. Have you seen Chicago has four wins, and all of their wins have come against teams that have one win? So they beat the Titans. They beat Jacksonville. They beat the Rams. And they beat somebody else. So all these teams have one win. And, like, that's it. 615-737-1025. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. And the injury report is out. And, boy, it's big for the Titans. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
Well, we talked to Callahan about the urgency. He said, you know, it's always there, but there might be a different tone to it, given the record and these next two tough road opponents. What's your take on the urgency going into a week like this?
Yeah, I think operationally, just in and out of the huddle, too. That's something we saw on this past Sunday that wasn't up to our standard. And with all the stuff that we do, with all of the motions and everything, and different types of looks we're going to give to the defense, like, we need to, you know, get up and set on the line of scrimmage with more than 15 seconds to go. We can't be breaking the huddle, you know, approaching the line with 6-7 seconds without even having to or being able to operate what we want to for the play. So it's working through this week of getting the substitutions game like, making sure that we're getting in and out of the huddle with urgency. I think that mindset in the huddle, in and out of the huddle, should take its, you know, course throughout everything else that we're doing in the building and how we approach it. So we didn't have the best day of practice today. We all knew that. We want to come out tomorrow and make sure that that urgency and what we put out there on tape is more to our standard. So opportunity to do that tomorrow.
That was Will Levis in his press conference on Wednesday, a cut that led D-Mace to go absolutely bananas about. He went bananas about both parts of it. He went bananas about the fact that he threw the coach under the bus for saying we're not getting the play in fast enough. And then he threw the team under the bus by volunteering that we didn't have a good practice. And then, of course, the media runs right in there. They go to Skoronski. They're like, did you not have a good practice today? And then we talked about it yesterday. I said, look, I think if they're not having good practices after they got embarrassed again, then it might be a sign coach isn't hanging on to the team. And it was hilarious, too, this morning because, Ian, I don't know if you heard this, but Joe asked Robbie if he had heard D-Mace go off about what Will Levis said, and then Joe said that he thought that what Will Levis said was fine.
Okay. No, I did listen to most of the show this morning.
Well,
but
so the injury report is out, and Will Levis is now questionable for the game on Sunday. Keandre Coburn is out with a knee injury. Treylon Burks got hurt in practice this week. He's out with a knee injury. I think he's going on IR. And Tajay Spears is out with a hamstring. So those guys are out. But Will Levis, who was a full participant on, no, excuse me, Will Levis, who was a full participant on Thursday, was limited today in practice, and he is questionable for the game. Just because you're limited doesn't necessarily mean that you're questionable for the game, but that's odd. Ian, was Levis questionable for the game last week?
I don't think he was on the final injury report.
So he wasn't on the injury report. Then he said that his interception was based off of his shoulder still hurting him, which then I guess technically was on the injury report, even though he wasn't on the injury report, but he was obviously injured according to him. Then nobody says anything about his injury. Brian Callahan says on Monday, oh, no, there was no question about Levis and a potential injury going into all of this. And now he's questionable for the game. And it should be noted, Nick Holtz got up there at the press conference yesterday. And I don't even really know what Nick Holtz does. Like, he's the offensive coordinator, but he doesn't call the plays. So, like, Denard runs the defense, and Cole Anderson runs the special team. So when you're talking to Denard, you're talking about the defense. But we know who runs the offense, and it's not Nick Holtz. But Nick Holtz, because the league says you have to, did a press conference yesterday, and he said he was asked about the Ridley targets thing, which he knew he was going to be asked about. And he said, he goes, yeah, you know, the second play of the game was supposed to go to him, but we got fooled. Which then led TD to come on the show and talk about it yesterday. And I saw Zach Lyons put something out on Twitter. And the assumption to be made is that the ball was supposed to go to Ridley on the second play of the game. And it didn't, because Will Levis screwed up. And I've never seen this coaching staff come out and throw Levis under the bus like that. Other than when Callahan was almost shocked after the Bears game and was like, yeah, I told him don't do it. And he went out and did it. And I was kind of surprised by all of that. Again, the point being, I wonder if this is actually an injury, that Will Levis is actually questionable, or if Brian Callahan is trying to find a way to not play Levis while not saying he's benched. And it wouldn't be the first time that Brian Callahan's done that. Because Will Levis had his helmet on. He had gotten his juicy juice shot in the tent. They don't give you the shot if you're not going to go back in the game. So they gave him the shot, and he was standing on the sideline, and Brian Callahan was like, well, we don't want to further risk injury, because they wanted Mason Rudolph to play, because they knew they could win with Mason Rudolph. I said yesterday on the program, after I heard Levis say, I could do better and Ridley could do better, after he threw the coach under the bus, after he volunteered the fact that they didn't practice well, I wondered. I sat on the show, I go, look, I don't care if you bench Levis or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. You're not going to Buffalo with either guy and winning. But I said, if I was the coach, I'd bench him. Just because the way his press conferences have been, it's been atrocious. Been atrocious. And I do wonder if that's kind of the foreshadow to him not playing on Sunday. Is this all of a sudden saying he's limited and he's questionable for the game on Sunday? I wonder if that's part of the, you know, the foreshadow that he'll not go out there and play on Sunday against the Bills. And I wonder if it's more of a punishment thing, or I just don't want to get embarrassed so bad, so I want to play the other guy. So your shoulder still bothering you? You know, that deep throw that you missed, that was the right shoulder. Okay, yeah, let's sit you to the bench and say, okay, let's see what happens there. By the way, L'Jarius Sneed, I don't remember when he hurt his quad, but he didn't practice all week. He's questionable for the game, and it doesn't sound like L'Jarius Sneed's going to play, so that'll be good against Josh Allen with what the Titans go out there and try to do on Sunday defensively with the number one defense. 615-737-1025 here on the program. John says, I'm thinking that using his injury can be a save face way of starting Mason Rudolph. Ding, 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 ding. Just like when a team puts a guy on IR who's not really hurt, but it's like, yeah, we're going to pay him for the rest of the year. Just go stand over there. It'd be fine. That's the same. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys seen this in baseball, but a guy will go out, he'll make a start, and he'll go 2 1/3 and get rocked, and it's obvious that he can't be in the rotation any longer. And instead of sending the guy down to AAA, oh, they put him on the IL with some elbow soreness, so they'll give it a month, and then they'll see how he gets, that kind of thing. I would not be surprised if that's what this whole Levis questionable thing means. Chuck says these are always the type of games the Titans always win. They always seem to beat Buffalo. Chuck, I can't remember the last time the Titans went to Buffalo and beat Buffalo. I mean, I'm trying to think in my head. They went to Buffalo in 2022 and got housed. They went to Buffalo in 2018 after they had beaten the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, and they lost a game, I think, 13-12 because...
Your boy. Nick Williams,
my
right?
My boy. Was Nick Williams dropped a touchdown, and then who was it? Fumbled the ball. Deion Lewis and Tywan Taylor fumbled the ball. Talk about some scarbinis. So that was 2018. I'm trying to think. I want to say the last time the Titans won in Buffalo was 2012. I think Matt Hasselbeck went in there and beat Ryan Fitzpatrick, if I'm not mistaken.
Looks like October
21st, 2012. Ha! How was that?
35 to 34?
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Matt Hasselbeck went out there and beat Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wow. The random crap in my head almost never ceases to amaze me. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, it's Jared, and I want to tell you about Window Nation. That's right. It is starting to get cold outside, and so some of you guys, you're cranking up the heat, and you're like, why is it still cold? And that's because the air is going out through the windows. You don't want that. That heat's expensive. We all pay it. Don't spend too much. Get the energy-efficient windows that Window Nation has, and that Window Nation, by the way, is awesome with. So right now, buy two windows, you'll get two windows free. Did you hear that deal? For every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. Buy 100 windows, you'll get 50 of them free. It's great. Plus, pay nothing for 24 months. So hurry up, because the sale ends October 31st. So schedule an in-home estimate with their pros, and I am talking about the best of the best, by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com. Pay nothing for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
If you're Amy and you have invested all this into this, and I mean, it's a big change now, right? And yeah, a little bit of a half measure change maybe last year. Now it's the full thing. And you're really going to entertain starting over? I can't, especially with all the criticism she has, to me, rightfully received about rashly making decisions in the last few years. I think I'm 2%, and I feel like that's that. 25% is wild. Wild, Robbie.
Have you seen her the last 2 years?
Well, I know. But again, that's part of my reasoning.
That was Joe Rexroad earlier this week. Ian, did you hear me on the morning show this morning?
Yes.
You hear Joe kind of walking back his defense of Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker?
I heard him trying to clarify his words to you that I guess you have been taking out of context.
Have you listened to Jared versus Joe? Were we taking that out of context?
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you guys talk around in circles. It's hard to keep up all the time.
Okay. So, again, Joe's thing was that Amy can't fire Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker no matter what because it'll look bad. And then I made fun of that, and he said that that's not what I said, you know, a la Mike Francesa. So I did some digging, some sources, I guess. There's a big football game that kicks off at 11 a.m. Central Time tomorrow. It's 3 hours north. It's Miami and Louisville. And you may think that that game matters to me because I went to Louisville, and you'd be right. But there's a reason that it matters to the Titans, and it has nothing to do with the boys in red. And it has everything to do with the quarterback that is going to be playing for Miami on Saturday. And so I did some digging. And I looked at the Titans, you know, this is the closest game Miami plays to Louisville. And I wondered, are the Titans going to be scouting Cam Ward this Saturday? I mean, Ian, we would expect the Titans to be scouting Cam Ward, right?
I don't know. How do they feel about Levis?
You can't. No, no, no. If Levis decides to pull his head out of his ass and become Brett Favre, then I can deal with having wasted the time looking at Campbell.
You want them scouting the quarterbacks already?
Oh, God, yes. You don't?
I mean, I guess you should probably be doing your homework, yeah.
So according to my sources, neither Rand Carthon nor Chad Brinker will be at the Louisville-Miami game this week. Instead, Sam Somerville will be representing the Titans at the UofL-Miami game, whoever that is. I went to the Titans' website. He's like sixth on the scouting depth chart.
At least they'll have somebody there.
Oh, wow, yeah. You know, not the people that'll make the pick, but we'll have some guy there, and he'll tell us what the – seriously? Now, look, maybe somebody's going to Knoxville to watch Jalen Milroe play. But there's no other time this year that Cam Ward plays this close to home. In fact, I actually thought it was a good thing and retweeted Robbie Weinstein, who covers Vanderbilt. I retweeted Robbie Weinstein because I thought it was a good thing that Rand Carthon was on the sidelines for the Alabama-Vanderbilt game the week after Jalen Milroe kind of put his name out there first and foremost for QB1. That's what he needs to be doing. That's what Chad Brinker needs to be doing. Those guys need to be scouting the quarterback class. But that's easy to go to Vanderbilt on a bye week. That's 5 minutes up the road. This is where it's tough. Because in order to do this, in order to go stand on the sideline, watch Cam Ward, do some talking. I mean, these guys get to the games very, very early. These scouts do. In fact, some of them leave like around halftime because the beginning part of the game where they're kind of on the field during warm-ups and they're talking to different people and they're talking to some coaches and they're talking to – that's where you get the info. And then you see how guys interact, and then you see how guys interact with their coaches, and that's the whole point of this. This is where it's tough because you, in order to do this, let's say you're Rand, let's say you're Chad, you have to wake up at 6 a.m. tomorrow, hop in the car, and drive north 3 hours. I guess you could drive tonight, but a lot of guys on Friday, that's the night that they spend with their families, you know, that the work week's over, so they spend Friday night with their families. So you have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, drive 3 hours north to Louisville. Then you go to the game. Then you either have to drive 3 hours back, or you have to fly from Louisville to Buffalo. And I looked it up, you know, a late flight out of Louisville in the afternoon tomorrow to get to Buffalo would have you checking into Buffalo around I think 11:50 at night. So it's not easy, but that's the job. Because, again, this is Cam Ward. You may be making a $30 million commitment to Cam Ward 10 months from now, or however many months it is until late April. You need all the information you can get. Like, how are you going to know if he's going to be your guy or not if you just say, oh, Sam Somerville, go find out? And that's, again, where I go back to this Titans regime where it's just, it's a lot of talk and it's not a lot of chalk. And I'm already seeing people in the YouTube chat that are saying, when a scout goes, scout players, not general managers. No, general manager scout players. Again, why was Rand Carthon scouting the Vanderbilt-Alabama game? Because that's his job. In fact, Ian backed me up on this. I talked to a former general manager today about this exact thing. And I said to the GM, I said, if you were a GM and there was a prospect you wanted to see playing close to home, would you go and then fly and meet the team on the road, or would you still fly with the team? And he said, yes, I'd go out ahead and meet the team at the hotel. Sometimes I'd check to see the closest and best college game if we were playing in a certain area. And if there was one guy, I'd just go see him play. That's what GMs do. Somebody else said there's so many video options with better angles that in-person scouting doesn't matter anymore. Then why go? Why? Again, if you can just sit at home, click, 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 and watch it on video, why go? Why even have a scouting staff? You just sit there and watch it all yourself on the video. This is why. This is what GMs do. This is the hard work. And this is the hard work that's not getting done around here. This is the hard work that is getting delegated around here. Where it's like, oh, we'll hire Sam Summerfield and he'll go scout. And it's like, great, well, who's making the pick now at number two? Are you making the pick or is Sam making the pick? Last year, we had Brian Poyle, the assistant general manager of the Predators, on the show once. And it was because Barry Trotz was out in, like, Switzerland at the World Juniors. And when Barry came back, Barry said, I trust my scouts, I trust my amateur department, but I needed to go to the World Juniors, and I needed to see these guys play. And I cut him off and said, yeah, because you're the one who gets fired. If you decide, hey, we're going to draft Johnny, and you're going to take him in the first round, and it doesn't work, who gets blamed? Arthur Smith never gets blamed around here for Isaiah Wilson. But John Robinson does. So, I'm sorry. But when I found out that the Titans were sending Sam Summerfield over to the Louisville-Miami game instead of sending the GM or the coach, or excuse me, the GM or the president, who's also a scout but also does all these other, whatever. I was disappointed. Again, this is the hard part of the job, is the waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, driving 3 hours north, watching Cam Ward, driving 3 hours south, and flying a commercial flight to Buffalo. That's the hard part of the job. But do you want all the information or not? And by the way, the team you're about to play, go read about how they found their quarterback, because there's a lot of flying across the country and watching all of those quarterbacks in that 2018 class play. And I think it's worked out for them. 615-737-1025. Okay. The Predators are stinking it up bad. Oh, they are stinking it up bad. They lost again last night. How worried should we be? That's next. 1025 the game.